have busy lives. We live in a culture of people that are busy, but that can miss the point. That's used as a distraction. Because if Satan can't make you rebel, he can distract you. Is that true? Can I get an amen? So we're going to talk tonight about seven strategies to make disciples. Seven strategies to make disciples. Because we need to strategize. That's what some of this, Ron and Gina making the pamphlet, that's a strategy. Okay? That's a strategy. Now we have a tool to, we're going to have breakfast. Hey, we're going to enjoy breakfast. It's going to be great. But we want to encourage other people also. So we're going to serve. Because here's what happens. Whenever God moves us, he's usually going to give us an opportunity to serve. When we take that opportunity to serve, it opens up doors that we didn't even know were there. And then we can share the gospel. Then we can bring people in the kingdom. So we got seven strategies to make disciples. And it's based on the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Let's look at those. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority, exousia, has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Everything. It's all given to Jesus. It's been given, okay? Rightful. He's the rightful king of the earth. He is the rightful Lord of all of the universe, okay? So this is what he tells us. Go. He had to come get the keys of death, hell, and the grave by raising from the dead, coming as a man, taking on the form of a man, living a sinless life. It had to happen. The whole earth was given over to Satan. Legally, it was given to him, okay? So he had to earn it back by coming as a man, coming from the line of Abraham, a man who had faith, who would believe God, who opened the door. Jesus came as of the lineage of David, the king of Israel, and he came as a sinless king, without charge, perfect. He died and rose again, so he's got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. The scrolls that no man could break in the book of Revelation that he was able to is the title deed to the earth. He owns it. He owns the earth. He made it. He gave it to man. Man gave it to Satan. He earned it back. He bought it twice, just like us. We're redeemed. We're bought. So, therefore, he tells us to do what? Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples, okay, of all nations. This is important. Do we understand this? He's calling us to, when Jesus comes again, guess what he's going to do? He's going to judge the nations. It's not going to be just individuals. Like we're so individual here in the United States, in our culture. We think it's just, no, it's nations, okay? So he go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is why when we have a baptism here, I make sure I say the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Some people argue that. But I'm just following what the Great Commission says. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. That's making disciples. Teaching them the teachings of Jesus. The doctrines of Jesus. And I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Okay. Very important. We're given this Great Commission. And who did Jesus give it to? Every believer. Every single, the church, the bride of Christ. We've been given this. Well, how do we make disciples of all nations? Does that mean we send missionaries? Yeah, it would include that. But disciples of nations means we, that actual Greek word, make disciples, it means becoming a disciple and making disciple at the same time. That's why somebody can get saved and only be saved for about 2 days and they can lead someone else to the Lord because they have excitement. You don't have to be, you have to be a Christian for 20 years before. No, you can start right away. You make disciples. And what does make disciples means? You teach them. You teach them. Okay, so but a lot of Christians, we don't understand what it means. We think, well, it's kind of hard to do. Does this mean I have to answer every question? What if they ask me, you know, did Adam have a belly button or something like that, and I don't know how to answer it? You know, they're always trick questions or... No, that doesn't mean that. It just means you listen to the Holy Spirit. You, just as you've received Jesus, you just share. And there's seven strategies I want to talk about. It's not difficult. We don't need to think that we have to go to some kind of, learn some kind of apologetics. apologetic classes so we can argue with an atheist and all this stuff. No, you just be spirit-led, and you just lead them to Jesus. All right, so let's talk about seven strategies. The first strategy is to pray. It's to pray. Pray, say, God. You wake up in the morning, say, God. Remember, you're becoming a disciple as well as making disciples. Lord, I surrender my day to you, my life to you. Lord, I use me. Use me as your servant. Just put someone in my path that I can minister today. I mean, if you pray that, guess what's going to happen? What's going to happen if you pray, God, bring someone that I can minister to today? Guess what's going to happen? So he's going to bring something. Something's going to happen. You're going to find something. It may not be the way you think it's going to be, because it might be wrapped. It might be wrapped in a problem or having a solution to a problem. It might be wrapped in a experience you didn't expect. It might be wrapped in a test. Okay, but it's still an opportunity. So you pray. You ask God. You know the Bible says, the good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Okay, you might think it's a coincidence, but it's actually might be his plan. So if you're praying ahead of time, you're giving permission. You're speaking it within your authority. God doesn't make you do things. Now, he disciplines us. He makes, if we're smart and we're listening to us, he will guide us in a certain direction. He doesn't make us. It's free will. So we have to, as a matter of our will, say, Lord, give me an opportunity to minister to someone today that I might share the gospel, that I might help someone, that I might encourage somebody, that I might be there for somebody at the right time, that you might use me to affect someone else. We pray. That's the strategy. ask God specifically to give you an opportunity to help make disciples. Ask the Lord in your prayer time, am I developing as a disciple? Am I learning the lessons you're showing me? Is there areas I need to work on? If you tell him, if you ask him that, he'll show you some areas. He's showing me some areas, okay? So first you pray. Everybody say amen. Because we're all praying. We're praying that God will help us. Secondly, number two, second strategy, draw near, right? Scripture says draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Draw near. What do I mean? Submit to God's process to become his disciple. As you, maybe there's an area that you've gone slowly at. Maybe there's an area you avoid because you're not familiar with it. Submit to that process. Allow him to shape you. He's the potter, you're the clay. Politely refuse to participate in worldly activities. This is what you got to do this at work. I mean, you got to say, if they're all gossiping, if they're tearing somebody down, and they ask you, well, what about, let's say they hate some political person or something, just back out of it. Just politely refuse. But then if they ask why, then your door, that's an open door to share. You know, I'm praying. I'm asking. God is guiding me right now, and I'm asking him. But you can do that. Here's another thing to drawing near. Play Christian radio. Keep Christian radio on your, you know, it lifts your spirit. It can be a blessing. Watch Christian TV. Listen to Christian podcasts. But most importantly, read the Bible. Just make sure you're putting time in your day to read your Bible. So that even if you say, well, I don't like to read. Just, you don't have to read the whole thing. Just open it up and read and let something get caught in your spirit. Something that might, you might hear something on the radio or on TV. Go back and look it up and read it and just meditate on it. Okay? And then if you're serving in the church, do it with passion. Do it with excitement. Do it with, like, you trust the anointing that God has anointed you for that moment and do it. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, you have to be a professional or, you know, something like that, because that's the exact opposite. If you're a professional, paid professional, that's not what the Christianity is about. It's about we're all the temple. Okay, we're the church. It's not a building. It's not an organization. It's not a process. It's us. So do it with joy and passion and You know, do it to the best of your ability. The second one, so draw near to God. That's drawing near to God. That's trying to please God. Try to do something for God in a way that would be pleasing to him. And God will reward you. Third strategy, display. Now, this is important. This is, you know, there's a lot to be said about wearing a Christian t-shirt. But you could wear a Christian t-shirt. It's a statement. It's a, you know, of course you can, if you wear a Christian t-shirt and you get mad and cuss somebody out, then it's a bad witness. But if you wear a Christian t-shirt, somebody might ask you a question. It's a conversation opener, okay? Hang scriptures on the wall of your house so you can meditate on it, so you could look at it. Sanctify your social media. What do I mean? Your presence on social media. It's supposed to be a digital image of you. Now, we know that a lot of times social media is fake, right? It might be a Russian bot there, you know, trying to get you to vote for Trump. I'm joking. It's a lot of times it's fake. But you need to make your social media an opportunity to witness. You know, your testimony, your witness is powerful. God's anointed us with the Holy Spirit to be witnesses everywhere we go. Well, our social media is a great opportunity to do that. So we can sanctify our social media, our social media habits. We could, if you go to work, you could, and you have a desk, you could leave a Bible on your desk. You could read it. Maybe a coworker might have a problem and might have an issue. You can go, on break time when you're not at working, you could say, well, look at this right here. Jesus says in John, you know, whatever, John chapter 10, you have an abundant life. We've been given abundant life, but the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, you have the Bible right there. You use that as a tool, but that's displaying your faith. If you have a Bible and you read it, you don't have to preach at people. You're reading it. They can see that it's important to you. You're living by it. You're reading it. They can see that it's made a difference in your life, especially if you're way different than you used to be because you've been reading the Bible. Because that's always amazing. That's part of your testimony. So if you own a business, you could keep Bibles in the tables in the waiting room. You could play Christian music. You know, you could do so. But that display, make a display of your faith, because that is a strategy. When people ask a question, or maybe they go through a problem, it opens up a door. Number four, fourth strategy. Testify. Now, we talked about your testimony Sunday, that you should write it out, that you should get familiar with it, that you should practice it. We should have people in the church on a regular basis giving a testimony. A while back, we were having people give testimony, have a rock painted, and then they would go and put it with the rest of the rocks. We need to do that again. Get your testimony together. Testimony has three parts, right? The way you were before Christ, what happened when you received Christ, and how it's been since you've received Christ. And it's very important to do that. So write your testimony. Share it. Share it on your social media. You know, people are looking at it even if they don't, you know, comment on your post. There's more people looking at your social media than actually comment. If you're in conversation, you can share part of your testimony. You don't have to do the whole long version, but there's little parts, you know, that allow you to connect with people on a emotional level, you know. Be honest about your struggles. We don't have to, you know, that's the thing about sometimes religious people, they become unapproachable because they're so above and beyond and all this stuff. And we had seen somebody that we knew recently, Sharon and I, and they're of the Christian persuasion that they kind of judge everybody. That's what they do. They judge. So we're kind of careful because you know how they judge. But that's not how it's supposed to be. You can't reach the lost and dying world. You can't help people that are broken and help them heal by being judgmental. So be honest with your struggles. It allows people to connect. It keeps us humble. We share what we're going through, we can always share how God's bringing us through. You know, I believe in healing, but I've had a a rough couple weeks, really rough couple weeks. I'm not used to because I've been spoiled with such good health my whole life. Well, be honest about it. But even though I'm believing I am healed and I'm confessing, I'm positive confession that I'm healed by the stripes of Christ, I have to be honest. I'm hurting. I'm struggling. Okay. But God's going to pull me through, and he's pulled me through. He's done so many things. I'm praising him. So we can praise God openly for the great things he's doing in your life. And many times God blesses us or helps us out when we mess up. It's not really, sometimes we got to be careful that our little praise report isn't this, somebody, well, is all these bad guys did this stuff to me. Sometimes we screw up and we have to cry out to God and he delivers us. Can I get an amen? And we can share that and then give God praise because he does do that. Okay, so testify. That's the fourth strategy. Your testimony is the most powerful thing. You can't believe how powerful it is. And does anybody have a working on a testimony right now? They want to share sometime in the church? Anybody feel led to work on their testimony, paint a rock, and come and share it at the church? Put it up there. I'm telling you, you start doing that, that's part of praying. It's part of getting the ball rolling. Suddenly, you'll find yourself getting in situations where you're sharing the gospel, where you're helping somebody, where you're leading someone to the Lord. Next thing you know, you start bringing visitors into church, help make them disciples, okay? So fourth strategy is testify. I'm hoping everybody will want to testify. Everybody, it doesn't have to be long, maybe short. Some people, but I'm telling you, break the ice. You get up and say five words, you've broken the ice, okay? And then things, the ball starts rolling. Number five, the fifth strategy is help. Listen to this. Help someone in need. Ask to pray for someone who's sick. You know, instead of, you know, because people complain a lot. I mean, I'm not saying that, but they share that they're sick or something. Pray for them. Ask to pray for them. Make a cake. Make a meal and bring it over. Make banana bread and put a note on it and give it to them. You know, maybe a Christian note of encouragement. Give it to them. I'm telling you, that could really bless somebody. Help somebody move. That's a blessing. Can I get an amen? You need help. When it's time to move, it's too much for one person, so you need help. Work in somebody's, help somebody in their yard. This is what Sherry does. She does dishes over at other people's house. Do dishes at somebody else's house other than yours. I'm telling you, that you'll bless somebody like that. Well, we're at the end of the service. We'll have an altar call here, and everyone can come and lay their burdens down. All right, but help somebody. This gives an opportunity. When you're helping somebody who's in need, that you have earned the right to share the truth with them. I'm telling you, that's the whole basis of missionary thrust. Franklin Graham and his organization, what's that called? Anyways, goes around the world. Samaritan's Purse, that's it. Thank you. That's what they do. And they always share the gospel. And he tells them. He even gets called into Islamic countries under Sharia law. And he tells them, we share the gospel. We do it in Jesus' name. He doesn't play this little, you can't say Jesus' name or it's Islamophobic. You know, that's a lie. I hope nobody ever falls for that foolishness. Because he always does it in Jesus' name. Even when he prays in Muslim countries for Muslim leaders, he prays in Jesus' name. So don't get, that's when you help somebody, you've earned the right. You've earned the right to share your faith. But remember, we just share the gospel. We don't save people. We just share the gospel. The Holy Spirit draws them and they get saved. But once you get saved, then even as we're working it, we're making disciples. Because we just don't want somebody to pray a prayer and still live a jacked up life. We want them to make disciples, right? Amen? What do I mean by making disciples? Anybody know? The definition is to become more like Jesus, okay? More like Jesus. I'm becoming more like Jesus. Think about that. In any aspect, at my job, I'm becoming more like Jesus. As a husband, or as a brother or sister or wife, I'm becoming more like Jesus. Okay? There's a growth to that. It doesn't plateau. It doesn't just stop doing drugs and then you stay the same. It continually grows. You're becoming more like Jesus. That's what making disciples means. Okay, so you help someone. Number six, very interesting, you serve. You serve. Listen, when you start serving, it changes your whole point of view. People who serve and volunteer, they're happier, they're more fulfilled, they have less problems with depression, they are more thankful for the many blessings. But people who don't serve, well, it's just the opposite. They're more focused on problems and themselves. They can never have enough. They find out that their heart is a bottomless want pit, okay? You can never be satisfied. But when you volunteer, what do I mean? Volunteer at a nursing home. Volunteer at a crisis pregnancy center, a school lunchroom, a sports team, help coach a little league team. This is a volunteer thing that you do, but you're doing it just for the privilege of serving. Serving someone else, serving your community, serving, you know, just for the sake of serving. When you do this, you can get the gospel out, because Christians have always made a difference in every society in the whole world. Christians were the ones who, they started soup kitchens, homeless shelters. It was Christians. It wasn't Buddhists. It wasn't Islam or anything else. It was Christian. They started burn centers. They started hospitals. Christians were the ones who started schools. Okay, all these things were started by Christians. Missionaries taught, and they came in. They doing all these things. They always serve. Serve the people. Missionaries have always served, and then it opens up the opportunity to preach the gospel. So serve. When you serve, now listen, you have to have the mindset to serve. Because a lot of people have the mindset, I don't got time. I don't have enough time right now. It follows a spiritual principle. What you do for others, God will do for you. If you have lack in your life and you serve others, God will provide miraculous ways in your life. So the sixth strategy is serve. Somebody's Pentecostal. I can tell by his gait. Look at him. He's Pentecostal. Running the... All right. And then number seven, invite. Invite. Tell people you go to church. Tell them where and invite them. Of course, now we have this handy little tool. Pray about these. Find out who God has laid on your heart and invite them. Give them. People will come when they're invited. Especially, you know, get free breakfast. It's probably a good deal. You know, people who like to eat. I like a free breakfast. That's what got me starting to go to the pastor's organization that I'm involved in. They offer free breakfast. So I show up and eat. Okay? So other people will. Well, that's it. You bring them in. You bring them in and you invite somebody. Invite someone to church. Invite... Share your testimony. Share what God's doing in your life. And when I say testimony, I don't always mean the long version. Just something. Just, you know, something. What's God done in your life? What has he done? How has he blessed you? Like, share that with somebody. Let me tell you, that can be a blessing. And then invite them to receive Jesus. Invite them to trust Jesus in areas they never have before. That's inviting them. Give the invite. Lead someone to the Lord and help them get rooted in the Lord and bring them to church. And then you can help them along the way, because you remember when you got saved. And at first it was wonderful. And then suddenly you had some struggles you were not prepared to deal with, or they surprised you. But if somebody, as long as you're in the church and somebody who can mentor you can explain that these things happen. The devil isn't happy that you're no longer in his kingdom. You're in the other, and he wants to discourage you. He wants you to not live by faith. He wants you to focus on the problems. He surely doesn't want you to become a regular member of church. and a somebody who invests in the local church, okay? So invite someone and help disciple them. So these are the seven strategies. They're common sense, but there's pray. We need to be praying about this. This is so important. I mean, it's the Great Commission. Jesus told all of us, so we need to pray about it. We need to draw near to him. We need to, because we have to trust his anointing. We can't do this stuff in our own strength. That's when we wear out, burn out. But we'll have to trust his anointing. We need to put it on display. We need to make our stand. We need to represent, okay? We need to testify. We need to share what God's done in our life. We need to help someone. God blesses us to be a blessing. So that needs to be part of our lifestyle, even if we're busy. And I know there are seasons in life. You know, you're running around with little babies. They're not going to stay babies forever, but there are seasons. So you help someone. You got to serve. Serving is what Jesus did. He said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to be a servant. Okay, that's the key verse in the book of Mark. Okay, and then invite someone. Okay, God wants us to, he wants us to invite others. He didn't give us the Holy Spirit so that we could just say, hey, great, life is better and better, and then I go to heaven. I'm going to enjoy it. You know, he wants us to, he writes a parable in the gospel where he says the Father has a great banquet hall, and he's making this great feast. So he tells his servants to go and invite all these people. Well, most of them didn't come. There wasn't any. And the servants say, hey, he said, where are the servants? My banquet hall isn't full. He goes, they didn't come. He says, go to the highways and the byways. Go to the lame and the blind. What did I say? I just created two new words right there. The blind and the maimed. Anyways, go to the broken down people. That's what we're doing, okay? When we got saved, we were broken and undone without Jesus. So we're supposed to be looking at other people who are broken and undone. We're not supposed to, start living in a gated community and forget about the unwashed masses. No, we're supposed to be looking to the blind and the maimed, and we're supposed to compel them to come in, all right? And because the Father wants his banquet hall full, but when it gets to, whenever he declares it's full, he's shutting the doors. And you know what's going to happen? Then the end's going to come really quick, and it's going to be too late for some. So right now, we have to understand how important this is. Great Commission is the Father's will. So we need to be inviting. We need to be getting really, really intentional and working together. See, when we work together, we do so much better. That kitty cat's assignment thing was a big teamwork success. That was a success. So we need to keep this success going. And we need to, and this is seven strategies to make disciples. We all need to understand we are disciple makers. Can I get an amen? All right. Does anybody have something to share, that helpful suggestion to share in the process of making disciples that I didn't cover? I just want, in case you had something. Sometimes I get an idea when I hear people speaking. Okay. All right, I covered everything. Wonderful. Let's close with prayer, and let's have some prayer. Let's pray. And that's the first